This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Kerry Garbus.
So a while back now, I was in a production of Grease at a theater in Pittsburgh. And I've actually done a shockingly high amount of numbers of Grease playing Jan, which is really a story for another day. However, today's story, this is really in the old days when I was doing this Pittsburgh production of Grease. And this is when we would call into a voicemail, a pre-recorded voicemail that would read the rehearsal schedule out loud for the next day. This is really before the days of, I had a cell phone, but this was before the days of like everybody having a smartphone or traveling with a laptop or all these kind of things. So the very first night that I'm there, I'm in Pittsburgh, and I call, it was well known, you call in to the rehearsal line, you listen to the recording, and then you show up at the time that they tell you. So I call in, the stage manager is rattling off the start times, and she called people by, again, a very common practice to call people by their last names. So I call in and it says something like, hello, welcome to the rehearsal call for tomorrow, June 10th at 10 a.m. Larson, Holbrook, Jarvis, Silver. And now I'm livid. I am livid that the stage manager cannot get my, I'm like, how does she not know my last name is Garbus and not Jarvis? And I'm like, I'm overwrought and annoyed. So I hang up, I'm like, fine, I have to be there at 10 a.m. I hang up, I'm annoyed. Next morning I get up, I get there, early's on time for an actor, and well, just my philosophy in life. So I get to the rehearsal hall and I'm like, full on ready to walk over to her and be like, listen, my last name is Garbus, not Jarvis. And luckily, before I walked over to her across the room, I realized I am standing in a room of all men. I am the only female present. And I'm like, oh no, this is the call time for all the guys. And luckily I kind of like slinked out of the room to call, use my cell phone and call back into the voicemail as I hear them starting to learn the music for Grease Lightning, which is an all male number. And I realize, I'm like, oh, huh, I wonder what's going on. So I listened to the entire message. I actually don't hang up after I hear the word Jarvis madly. I just listened to the entire message. And finally she's like, so 10 a.m. Jarvis, Holbrook, blah, 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 blah. And then she gets to, and 1 p.m. Watkins, Solomon, Garbus. Oh, there it is. Okay. So my takeaway is that you have to listen to the whole voicemail to get all the information, and that Jarvis is Jarvis and Garbus is Garbus. And I am so pleased to have a fine representative of the Jarvis name here on today's podcast. This episode of Speaking of Events features none other than Donna Jarvis, not Garbus, Miller, Director of Membership and Events at American Public Human Services Association. Welcome, Donna Jarvis Miller.
Well, thank you, Kerry. That is hilarious. That is hilarious, I can tell you. So it's funny that you say that about your name, because I cannot tell you how many times people spell my last name with a B instead of a V, even though they make the J correct. But when I speak, because I tend to speak very fast and very quickly, they will say, well, your email bounced. And I'm like, how can my email bounce? And then when they finally get it to me correctly, it's like, oh, well, if you would spell my last name correctly.
That's right. And I didn't realize, so that happens to me often, except I get the Garvis, right? That's exactly pretty common. Right. I never thought about it that you or Mitch Jarvis, who was the actor that was in the show with me, would be plagued the other way with Jarvis.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So and, I now spell my name out.
Oh, how do you do it?
Because it's Victor.
Yes. Okay. So here's mine. G-A-R-B as in boy, I-S as in Sam.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I need to every now and then, because somebody, if they don't repeat it back on the S, so I need to come up with another word for S, because and for the longest time, I tried to come up with a word, and I decided Victor, because that's not a word that many people use anymore. So
yes, Victor, you know. Right. Yes. What's wrong with Sam?
And nothing's wrong with Sam. Exactly. No. No,
we're very inclusive here at Speaking of Heads. All Sam's welcome.
But it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. This is
you are exciting. Very welcome. Yeah. We are so excited. That the cool thing about having you is that as we welcome all event professionals, and you are bringing something new to the table, which is really exciting, that we're going to get to exactly your niche within this industry. And before we get there, and as you know, you're prepared. You said you listened to most of the episodes, so it's nothing is going to be a surprise here. Also, we have a prep call. Is what's the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
Oh, okay. We don't have enough time. For real, there are so many things I wish people knew about events that I think some of the things that are really people don't really understand about events is it takes a lot of time. It's not snap of the finger. You know, when you're putting a trade show together, in particular, since we're going to be talking about trade shows, it's we just want to move our booth 10 feet. Well, no, you can't move your booth 10 feet because now you're off the electrical grid. It's just those little domino effects. And I also don't think that people have an appreciation for the hours that teams put into making the magic happen behind the curtain, as we refer to it on my team. People show up and it's like, oh, this is awesome. And it's, oh, we had such a great time. And then the team that did the awesomeness and the great time collapses at the end of, you know, a year and a half of work or whatever. So,
yeah,
you know, as my team and I spotted out specific hours for the long holiday weekend, we said, okay, we'll commit to this, because we are 12 days away from our first in-person event in 2019. So June 12th, we will have our first event. So,
and your last one was in 2019.
For this particular event, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, we were fortunate to have two. We did our trade show in 21 at about 50%. But yeah, this is our first summit that we typically do in the spring since 2019. So
yes. So you
trade shows again.
Yes, exactly. Trade shows is your thing. It is your first love, that you had shared that with me.
Yep,
and I do. They are really magical. What, talk about some of the magic that happens. I've experienced it personally. What about you?
Well, I think that, how I fell in love with them, if I can give you a little bit of backstory, is
yes,
I started in public shows, consumer shows. Most people don't even know what they're called, but they're the, you know, the home and garden shows, the pet expos, the ticketed shows that you go to and you buy all the stuff that you swear you don't need for your house, and then you walk out and you now own a new kitchen. Well, I was the person that was helping produce this type of events back in the day. And when I started, I didn't know the difference between a 10 by 10 and an island or a pavilion or concurrent stages or anything like that. And I had a good friend who gave me an opportunity to do it. I fell in love with it, and because it's a relationship business, you do relationship building. And at one time I was producing at the same time, not simultaneously, but they were within time frames of each other. I would be talking home and garden show, high end, and fishing camps, because we were doing a sports vacation. So one call would be with marketing of a bank of, you know, high end, and the next would be like the outpost in Canada or someplace that was bringing their fishing camp in for our pushing, you know, but that's how I fell in love with the business. And so it's always my go-to when I'm kind of my safe space. I've now, you know, I now for APHSA do all of our events and manage our conferences and summits, but we do have a trade show. And so I find myself gravitating to making sure that that's, you know, all of them are shining stars, but really making sure that element of the floor is in order. So, and there's a lot of magic. And you can create
there
much
is.
On the floor. You know, you can make it just static, you know, regular floor, or you can create activity. I mean, they're just like, you can really get things engaging on the floor that versus just a general session room that people are sitting there listening to a speaker. Not that there's nothing wrong with that, but there's a difference. It's activity.
Yes. Yes. I secretly love trade shows, going, being a part of them, being on the floor. And I've, and even there is some vendor rapport that is built as well. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had some longstanding relationships of people that I've met in booths adjacent to where I had been working. And this goes back years and years, not even for a business, when I was working them for other vendors as an actor, being employed to work somebody's booth. So I too have a love for trade shows. And also, I went to a home show once here in Boston and oddly walked away with like an entire set of like jams and jellies. I didn't, that it was because I needed that.
Right.
I'm not sure why, but I did.
But you, you had gifts for everybody that you knew.
Exactly. A lot of great gift baskets. So what happened when the world went, when the event, well, when the world and the event world went digital, what happened to the trade shows? What happened? Or the,
you know, it was a struggle. You know, obviously those of us, I mean, the industry, as we all know, was hit really, really hard. But our sponsors and our people who are on the exhibit floor wanted to stay connected to the audience, that, you know, our customers, our members, their customers. And, you know, the challenge of creating that feeling of being in a convention center and an exhibit hall on a screen, you know, try as we might. And there's some dynamic platforms out there, an amazing, you know, bells and whistles. And so I thought, but I think that vendors really struggled with the, how do I do this? Because it's such a person-to-person, face-to-face business. And so sitting in a room, quote unquote, virtual room, waiting for someone to show up that was sitting in a virtual class wasn't, you know, quite the engagement. And I think that, I know I will speak for our sponsors. They really struggled with ROI. They struggled with how do we stay connected. So we were constantly trying to reinvent ways of messaging for them, creating opportunities to get them in front of our members that wasn't necessarily trade show, even I won't even call it trade show like, but it was just a way to, during our virtual events, we created other opportunities for them, putting them in as presenters, as moderators, and just to keep their name in front of our members. And then they would have a digital presence to upload materials. But even our most savvy vendors, and we've got some of, you know, our trade show is a technology trade show. And so we've got some pretty savvy vendors, and they were like, when do we go back in person?
Please. I know.
And so last year in 21, you know, Omicron and Delta was just our enemy, and we really struggled with, do we do it, do we not? And
yep.
they were like, please, we'll do whatever it takes to be there. And we did it with a lot of protocols in place, but they did, you know, they wanted that in the hall, meet people face to face, eye to eye, even if they had a mask on.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's key. I did, I think, two events as a digital vendor mm-hmm. in a digital booth, and it wasn't.
And I don't want people to take away that it doesn't have its place, and it does. And I know that there were associations that were very successful with it. And I think that at the same time, it has to be about the audience too, sure. you know, yeah. and particularly for our audience, they just weren't into it. And we were like, okay, we'll do what you want. And this is where I think trade show organizers have to acknowledge that we have to meet our sponsors where they are, and like, what do you want out of this versus mm-hmm. what do we as organizers, I mean, yeah, we have our goals and our expectations and our budgets and all that stuff that we have to meet, but there also has to be that other side of the equation in order for it to be a success yep. long term.
That makes sense. I want to switch gears a little bit and have you talk about SEER. Tell us what it is and all the wonderfulness of that, please.
Sure, yeah. So the Center for Exhibition Industry Research, which is part of IAEE. And for those who don't know who IAEE, who's listening, the International Association of Exhibition and Events, which is an international trade show organizers association, that's where we all go to learn and stuff, is an amazing research tool that as organizers we lean on their research, contribute to their research. And in December at Expo, they put out some studies, and like 94% of exhibitors are looking forward to 2022, coming back. You know, they're saying 86% of them are that they're there to expand their brand. You mentioned earlier about vendors connecting with each other. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I hear stories out of our trade show and then previous trade shows that I've done, particularly in B2B trade shows, where, oh, vendor X and I, we are now, you know, co-collaborating with the same client, and we want to be together, you know, next to each other on the trade show floor.
Yeah.
Even though outside of that trade show floor, they're stiff competition. But it becomes a very collaborative space. But you know, and those who are into data and stuff, if SEER's research is amazing for organizers to dig into, and I use it a lot as a selling tool, but also as a reminder to my attendees as to why they need to be there and on the trade show floor. So.
Yeah, that does. Some of that data is really powerful, so interesting, and we can learn a lot from data, from formulas, from a handbook. But we had talked about this before, that experience really is the best teacher. Do you have a fine example of that to share?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we've done over the years is I've done a lot of mentoring with individuals coming into the field, young people, and we've had interns here at APHSA, and we travel our interns with us. And in 19, when we did our last ISM conference. We took a couple young women with us who are interns, and I'm very clear with them, like, this will be your opportunity to decide if this is the industry for you. I hope it is, because I love this industry. This industry is giving me an amazing career. But it may not be. And it's better to find out now when you're 20 something and haven't invested, you know, your whole life in your career than to go, what? Turn around one day and go, what did I just spend 30 years doing? But I'll never forget one of the young ladies who was on, they were awesome. They worked their tails off. They did everything we asked them to do. The end of it, one of them came to me, she says, I love this experience, but thank you for telling me, showing me that this is not my gig. And I was
Wow, that's cool.
Like, what? I said, she goes, oh, and she's actually in the end. She's in a kind of a side part of our industry, but she didn't want to be in the trade show part. It's hard work. You get up, you're on your feet, you're on concrete, long hours.
It's true.
100 exhibitors pulling at you all the time, wanting this. And, I say all the time to my team is, you stand, you listen, you answer, you walk away. Next question. And you just roll with it. And they say to me all the time, like, how do you manage it? It's like, you just do, you've come to the point where it really is about listening, and none of that is taught in a book. Like,
yeah,
none of it. It's like, sometimes it's really having somebody just be heard, acknowledged, and go, okay, let me see what I can do about that. And you come back, 20 minutes later and say, okay, this is the resolution. And they're like, oh, you took care of that? Okay. And then they're on and about their way. I mean, I had a sponsor once that we had asked for a logo, this lovely trade show stories that we have. And we had their logo, but we had asked for confirmation, had confirmed on their website, but their logo had changed, but their website hadn't been updated. But the logo we had matched what was on their website. So we published that on signage. And they get on site and their executives come up to me and go, why are you using that logo? I said, because that's what we have on file. I went through the whole story. They said, that has to be changed before the CEO shows up. I said, and when is the CEO showing up? In 2 hours. Okay, let me get the color printer out.
So, yeah,
unfortunately, I went to this, service desk of our contractor, and but that, again, those are things that aren't taught in a book. And we we put a snipe on a patch and fixed the logo. The CEO was never the smarter,
right,
but it saved us writing a check back or making good on something else. But those are things that just aren't taught in a book. I mean, you can do all the theory, all the formulas, and the 1 per 100 for bartenders. And even that's questionable sometimes, depending on how much they drink, But yeah,
true.
I just think that sometimes it's the best experience is getting out there and getting on the floor, being willing to say to your partners, hey, let me shadow you. When you're new in the business, hey, do you mind if I come during setup day, curtain day, and just kind of watching and understanding like what that means? Because if you don't understand what that means, you don't know what, when you're negotiating the contracts and you have a large show, and your contractor says, well, I need 2 days to do curtains, mark the floor and get everything ready.
Right.
If you don't understand that, and the hotel says, or the convention center says, I only have 1 day, you don't know what you're pushing back for. But that shadowing and I've been fortunate over the years to have partners who've allowed me to learn things that they probably wish that they did, that I didn't know now, because I can come back and say to them,
knowledge is power, right? Yes. I want to go back to your point about that sometimes the vendors just want to be heard and acknowledged. And coming from the speaker coaching side of things, I certainly know that a lot of speakers that we work with need sometimes just to be heard, maybe not necessarily need something changed, but need to be validated, heard. And which of course leads me to my favorite question. Do you have any speaker disaster stories that you will share?
I can share with one of, I actually have a disaster story, but I've also been thinking about this since we did our earlier call.
A little prep call. Yeah.
Yes. Our prep call. Because I have a disaster story, but I also want to share with you an experience that I'm having now. So I'm going to give you the disaster.
Yes. And then I love it. Amazing. Go.
So the disaster story I'm going to share with you happened many years ago. So it will not be recognized or anything like that, long before I got into the association business. But I had a speaker. We were doing three concurrent education stages, and we were in two buildings. It was maybe 3 to 5 minute walk from the green room, which was in one building, to the stage where the speaker was. Nothing doing, but we had to put them in a black car and drive them around, which basically took us way longer than we could have walked them through the building. And the manager traveled with his speaker, and get the car to the door. I mean, literally we pull up right next to the door, next to the stage, and the speaker's not getting out of the car. I'm like, what is going on? We had not put up a curtain to hide them to walk on the stage. Now, it wasn't in the writer, that lovely laundry list of things that we must as producers do,
right?
Remove the green M&Ms and make sure that there are only 10 Pringles in the can and not 15, and all that kind of stuff that we have to do for speakers. I looked at the manager. I said, I'm sorry, what? He doesn't want to be seen. And I go, we're talking home improvement, gardening. can we? And I had, and this was back in the day before we did a lot of wiring of payments, where you had to have the check in hand so that when they arrived that you were paying.
Oh, yes. Animal. Yes. You had the envelope with the, right.
And I said, see.
I do remember those days. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, see this envelope? I can tear it up.
Hold it or give it to
you. And then I go, well, no, we sure have. I go, he has not gotten on stage yet. So I would suggest that he get out of the car and on stage. I was, and in my head, I kept thinking, you're not the president of the United States. You're not a cabinet. And at that point in my career, I wasn't even dealing with that level of individuals.
Right.
I mean, I deal with cabinet level people now and stuff like that. So, and I actually have, because they have awesome advanced teams, I, have a much different experience, but it was just mind boggling to me that this person was, because there was no curtain to protect them. And we had a few hundred people, 500 people sitting in the audience. It was a show. It was a 70,000 person show that we did. It was a 9-day consumer show that ran for the public. So it was, but he finally got on stage, rocked it once he got there, but it was just the prima donna stuff. And that's the kind of stuff that drives organizers crazy. It's like, really? Our lives are complicated enough as organizers, right? And we have so many things running through our heads and on our phones now. Our phones now become our brains. That having prima donnas as speakers is
right.
Crazy times. But no fun. Let me share with you what I'm experiencing now. We have a speaker.
Yes, please do.
It's coming up this fall. And I have said to this woman that she has set the bar for any other speaker that I will ever have again in the future. And I have actually never met her in person. I feel like I know her, like I've known her for years, and met her through industry acquaintance and friend. And we've hired her to be our keynote for our ISM conference in the fall. But she was also, all of our other conferences were looking at her as well. And so she offered to do a personalized video for every planning committee as to why they should hire her.
Ooh, like, what a great idea.
I'm not asking you to do that. She goes, this is how I work. Once we got her contracted for the conference, we're going to do no less than probably 5 prep calls with her. She's doing a prep call with my team. She's doing a prep call with the conference committee. It is like night and day. And then we're talking about when she's arriving, when she's leaving. She's, oh, so the conference starts on Sunday. And I'll be there the entire time. I said, what? She's, yep, I'll be around the entire time. So that, because she's speaking on Monday, and I'll be around the entire time so that your attendees will have full access to me.
Yeah,
and I knew what her fees were. And I thought, okay, how am I going to negotiate this one? Because no impact.
No additional, just that's it. Okay, no. That's investment, that's dedication. And that's, in my opinion, a very smart speaker.
Just amazing. And I yesterday got a text from her, like, hey, just a reminder, we need to get dates on the calendar.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. Good for her.
So I'll, you know, yes, I'll always have the prima donna stories. We always will have those, like, oh my God stories. But then you have an amazing story like this one that I'm dealing with now. And it's like,
oh, I love that. Love it.
There is grace in the world.
I know. Woo. Yay for that. So how did we get here? You grew up in Ohio. So yep. What do you consider? Is that like you're a Buckeye from birth? What is that? I don't know.
Yeah, I am.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm a Buckeye. Buckeye born.
That's
what Ohio's known for. However, yep. I am a diehard Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, okay.
Fan, so,
all right. Good to know.
Also.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So you go from, you're growing up in Ohio. You're part of this major trade show association. Mm-hmm. How did you get here?
How did I get to Virginia and what I'm doing now?
Yes. Yes. You
know, sometimes the stars just kind of happen. I was working for a media company where I was doing the consumer shows back in the day when digital was starting to happen and things were changing. And I had reconnected with a classmate and who was doing marketing. And she'd asked me to come sit in on a marketing campaign or marketing pitch that she was listening to just got to give her an opinion. So, you know, she asked what friends ask each other. It's like, hey, you didn't have any barriers. You didn't have any, you know, anything standing in your way. What would you do? Because I really didn't know what I was going to do. I had been trying to figure it out for a few months and had done the nonprofit. I started, you know, back in the days doing development fundraising. So I kind of done the full gamut of things. And I said, you know, this is what I know. I know how to organize events. I know how to do trade shows. I am a great relationship builder. And if I'm going to go beyond regional events, I've got to go to DC, but I don't know anyone there other than my uncle who worked for the Census Bureau at the time.
Oh,
who clearly wasn't in the events world. And she said, oh, I'm a member of this association. They're managed by an association company, which I didn't know what that was.
Right.
And let me call them and I'll just have a Q&A, you know, like you have a connection. I was like, sure. I mean, you know, have coffee, you know, why not? 6 weeks later, I moved to Washington, D.C.
Wow. That's crazy.
The day she called, they had posted for a trade show manager position for one of their associations that they managed. It was the association it was the second year for the trade show. And 2007, I moved to Washington, D.C. As I said, I've said this many times, now I'm dating myself. I drove out of Ohio, threw my Rolodex in the water, not literally, but figuratively, because I was moving to an area where all those years of contacts that I had in Ohio would be of little to no value.
Right, right.
And I literally started over and, you know, came to DC and built that trade show during a recession. 2007 was really successful with that association. And in 2008, right. Even more successful in the midst of a recession. It was a hardscape show, you know, so recession time, people don't necessarily do gardening and all that kind of stuff, but we managed to pull off an amazing trade show. And as they say, the rest is history. And
the rest is history. And here you are.
8 years, you know, doing health and human services, education events, and I've been fortunate to have an amazing career helping connect people and bring the right people together on the trade show floor and create engagement and activities on the floor that have changed lives and
that is
commercially as well as in the community and stuff like that. So yes,
that is what it's about. That is what it's about.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that journey with us.
Yes.
Now, Donna Jarvis Miller, are you ready for the Lightning Express round?
I don't know. Let me get another sip of this
okay.
caffeine. And
take it. Sure. She's drinking some coffee, I think. Is it coffee?
It is coffee. It's yes.
Okay.
I as anyone who knows me, I have an Americana or two every morning.
Oh, yeah. You know? Sure. I'm in full support of that. All right. We're going to put 45 seconds on the clock and you have 7 questions. Take a deep breath. And Donna Jarvis Miller, what is your favorite moment in the event process?
Opening the doors.
Yay! What is something you wish you didn't have to do?
In the events process?
In anything. In anything.
I wish I didn't have to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I
feel that one. Yep. Yeah. So you went to Old Dominion University. Have you ever, right? Correct? You went to Old Dominion University.
No, Ohio Dominican.
Oh, no. You didn't go to Old Dominion?
No.
Okay. Now Dominion. Well, my question was, have you ever been to King's Dominion?
I have not.
What about Cedar Point?
Many times.
Yes. Okay.
Cedar Point was my go-to growing up. Yes. Yes. Oh, you're King's Island. King's Island.
Oh, yes. King's Island, very Ohio.
King's
right.
Island. Okay. King's Island or Cedar Point in Ohio. And I was a Cedar Point girl. So yeah.
Awesome. Who do you consider your mentor?
Oh, I have so many. Wow, that's you. Now you're putting me on the spot.
It is the lightning round, Donna.
Oh, wow.
She is overwhelmed with memory of mentors.
I have so many that have mentored me over the years, but I am going to go with one of the best ones I think that helped me really gained my confidence was my 4-H club advisors, Tom and Sally Robinson, who really, I don't know what they saw in me. They saw something and they really invested in me as a young kid and really pushed me. So yeah, that's where, that's really what got me started.
That's awesome. So if you, is there any trade show you go to just as an attendee, like can turn off your planner brain? Is there anyone? No, that's a hard no. Her face. No,
that is a, it is so very difficult to do that as an organizer. I've tried so many times to walk in. I go, okay, I'm just here to attend.
Right. I'm here. Yes, I
don't
know.
I don't need to see that drape wasn't hung correctly. I don't need to see sometimes
I feel you on that one. I have things in my life like that. Okay. And last question. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
Right now, I would be probably writing a script for closing session for our summit that
in
will be closing
12 days. Right. All right. Thank you. Congratulations. You have made it through the lightning round, the lightning express round. Woo! Take a nice deep breath. Yeah. That was fantastic. Yeah. Have some more Americano, which I do enjoy. So, Donna Jarvis with a V. Miller, where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
Sure. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm always open to connecting and sharing stories and experiences. And I'm a real open book with what I know. And I'm always willing to collaborate with others and share ideas. So check me out.
And
on
she
LinkedIn.
Is. We connected on LinkedIn. So thank you.
We did.
We were strangers 2 weeks ago. So thank you so much for being willing to be my guest. And I really wanted to bring the trade show floor into the spotlight on Speaking of Events. So thank you for being here this morning and spending time with me. Thank you to our audience for listening. I hope you learned something. I certainly did. And if you love events, if you loathe events, even if you just like events, it's fine, whatever. However you feel about events, tell someone about this podcast and give us a rating. I need the stars, people. I need the affirmation. I'm feeling a little low today.
And it's amazing. I listen.
Thank you. Yeah, Donna listened to, she said almost every episode. That's a life commitment right there. Thank you. Thank you so much again. This was a joyous morning for me. I really appreciate it. Remember, you are so welcome. Remember that whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events. Have a good day, everyone. Thank you.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovation.